You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Opportunity for being able to stand and behind the sacred desk. Thank you, Father Paul, for the committee for allowing me to stand before the congregation and just share a word with you from the Lord. We're not going to prolong the time. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would open it to Exodus, the 17th chapter. We'll start our reading at verse number 8. If you have it, say amen. And it reads, and then came Amalek and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out of us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Just for a few moments, I would like to pin for a thought this morning. A Moses-like leader. A Moses-like leader. In recent years, most people are beginning to figure out, especially in the business community, the importance of good leadership. There was a time that the church was one that had great leadership. But as you begin to survey and look at the world and the church in which we reside in, leadership in the church has created a vacuum in the church. Seems that leaders are no longer connected with the people in which they lead. But you can tell when you have a great leader. You can tell great leaders understand that they have leaders around them. And we see in our text today that Moses is God's unquestioned leader. It goes without a shadow of a doubt. For if you look at the book of Exodus, in over 50% of the chapters, it begins, God said unto Moses, or God spoke unto Moses. So it's no doubt that Moses is the leader here. But understand this, that every great leader needs leaders around him that will bear him up, that will help him, that will pray for him, that will love him, that will care for him, that will stand in place with him, that they might be able to lead the people. Companies are scurrying, trying to find effective leaders, because leaders understand that we don't need a title to lead. Leaders don't need to be put up on a pedestal to lead. Leaders understand that their leadership comes from God, that our mandate has come from God and God alone. And so I don't need you to call me preacher. I don't need you to call me youth pastor. Understand that what I do because of God has called me to do this, and because I'm leading because God told me to lead. But understand this, that everything that I know about leadership, or most of what I know about leadership, I learned from my pastor. I learned from watching him. I learned from observing him. I learned how he treated people, how he dealt with people. And he did not have to take me and pull me in and say, this is the way you do it. I learned by watching him. And you know that that's a great leader because great leaders lead by example. Great leaders don't always have to pat themselves on the back. They don't always have to say, this is the way you do it. No, they just do what they do. And the problem is that a lot of times they don't get the credit that they deserve because great leaders make leadership look easy. And so sometimes when it looks like the leader ain't doing anything, he's really doing everything. But Moses here is the unquestioned leader. As a matter of fact, Moses is mentioned more often than any in the New Testament than any Old Testament figure. In Christianity, Moses is often a symbol of God's law as reinforced and expounded on and in the teachings of Jesus Christ himself. I mean, if you look at the Gospel of John, Jesus uses the analogy of Moses lifting up the serpent in the desert as him being lifted up upon the cross. So Moses is quite notable in scripture texts. He is a leader like none other. And he is a leader that has been chosen from God. Let's take a look at Moses' life. Moses' birth was a miracle from God. Because you remember when Pharaoh began to be afraid of the Israelites and wanted all of the baby boys to be killed at birth. But the midwives said, we fear God more so than we fear man. And so they kept Moses alive. And then when the heat came, Moses' mother had an epiphany of like, let me take this baby and do exactly what he said. We're going to throw him in the river, but we're going to prepare him for the river. And so she makes a cradle for him, and she seals it, and she puts him in the river now, and she sends him down the river only to be discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. And so now Moses is growing up in Pharaoh's household. His mother for 12 years has him to wean him and to tell him and to teach him the things of God. He spends the next few years learning the customs of Egypt and how to run Egypt. But then in a fit of rage, in a fit of anger, he kills an Egyptian soldier and buries him in the sand and is exiled to the wilderness, to the backside of the mountain. That's the first 40 years of Moses' life. The next 40 years are in preparation for ministry. Moses has 40 years to get himself together that God might be able to use him. And what does God have him do? He has him tending sheep. There's nothing that gets you ready for ministry other than tending sheep, Pastor. Because sometimes sheep require a lot of attention. Sheep requires direction. And here God is teaching Moses on the backside of the mountain how to be an effective leader. So if Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's house and 40 years on the backside of the mountain preparing for ministry, we see in our text today his next 40 years. And so I said it last week, Pastor. You've been pastoring here at Macedonia Baptist Church for 40 years. Seems like you got another 40 years coming. God gave favor to Moses. So in our text, Moses has done what God has told him to do. He's gone to Pharaoh and told him to let my people go. And after 10 plagues placed upon Egypt, Pharaoh agrees and he lets the people go. Now understand, the people in this text are the same people that have been freed from Egypt. They've seen the 10 plagues. But we find them here in our text today. They are complaining. They are murmuring against Moses. God has given the manna from heaven. But even before then, he parted the Red Sea for them.
And the Bible said that they walked across on dry land. But now they say that all of the congregation, the children of Israel, have journeyed from the wilderness to now this place in Rephidim. And it says that they have no water. Understand that these people are doing exactly what God has told them to do. Even though God has blessed them and brought them out of Egypt, and they've been obedient to God, they're in the will of God, but yet there is no water. Understand this, my brothers and sisters. There are some times that you'll find yourself in situations where you've been obedient unto God. And yes, and still, there will be a problem that will be awaiting you there. You have to ask yourself why. Because there's something inside of these people that God is trying to develop. Understand this, that all problems are not bad problems. They're not bad. Sometimes problems are there to develop something inside of us. Sometimes you need to thank God for the problems in which he puts in your pathway. Because it's because of the problem that you'll be able to get over some of the obstacles that are coming your way. What he's trying to get these people to understand that you need to trust me regardless to what you see, regardless to what's going on in your life. And I don't know about you, but I've had some problems in my life that I could not see my way. But God said, you know what? I got you. Don't worry about that. You just wait on me. So we see problem number one, that these people didn't have any water. They were obedient unto God. But also understand that human nature, problems always produce complaining. People are always looking for folk to blame for their problems. And these people were no different. They were blaming. They wanted to blame somebody. So who do you think they would blame? They blame the leader. Instead of sitting down and thinking through this situation, instead of sitting down and remembering that, wait a minute, there was bitter water and God told Moses to touch the water and it turned to sweet water. We were hungry in a starving land and God gave us manna from heaven. Just think about what God has already done for you. So when you come up against your problem, just begin to reflect on what God has already brought you through. So no doubt they begin to attack Moses. Verse number 3, it says, and the people thirst, and there was no water, and the people murmured against Moses and asked Moses this question, wherefore is that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Oh, what a foolish people. Foolish people prompted Moses to cry out to the Lord. So not only will problems cause you to complain, but problems will cause you to pray to God. Moses cried out to God. He said, what am I to do with these people? Folk ready to stone me. I don't know, Pastor, after 40 years, I'm pretty sure that you felt like that before. People didn't want to listen to what you had to say when times were going good. I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed that when things are going right in your life, you don't want to listen to what the man of God, what the pastor says. But the minute things go wrong, the minute there is no water, the minute that you get cut off, you want to come and you want to blame the pastor and everybody else for what's going on in your life. But understand this, that all of us are reaping the consequences of the decisions that we make. God answers Moses. He said, listen, I want you to get the elders. Bring the elders together. And I want you to take them up to the rock. And I want you to stand. And he said, listen, I'm going to stand before you on the rock of Horeb. And thou smite the rock, and there shall water come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did it in the sight of all of the elders. God is still proving Moses. God is still showing them that Moses is the man. So Moses called this place Massah at Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? God has given them victory. He's shown them not only his power, but he's shown them that Moses is his man. And all of a sudden, the children of Israel are presented with a second problem. This problem comes in the form of a people, Amalek. Amalek is the descendants of Esau. Essentially, they are cousins with Israel. But they are jealous of Israel. And right after being delivered out of Egypt, they attacked the Israelites. The Amalekites were a low-down people. As a matter of fact, the Amalekites were despised in the eyes of the Lord because they were low-down. They had some very unethical practices when it came to warfare. As a matter of fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about how they would go to the rear of the formation, and they would pick off the weak and the feeble. They would kill those that were stragglers and just getting along. They would ambush. They would use sneaky tactics to do what they did. And so they became a most formidable foe for the children of Israel. And so God begins to speak to Moses once again concerning this. He comes and he tells Joshua, he said, Joshua, I need you to pick out some men who will fight against Amalek. I need you to pick out some warriors. Understand that Israel had never fought a war before. This is their first experience when it came to wartime. But he tells Joshua, pick out some men that you might fight against Amalek. Tells Joshua, a leader in of himself. Understand that there's multiple people here that God is using here. And he tells Joshua, in other words, God has given Moses the power of delegation. Understand that leadership changes. People change, leaders change. At one time, Moses killed an Egyptian. So Moses knew how to fight. But now we see Moses in more of a diplomatic leadership position. He's leading with diplomacy. He's delegating. He's saying, Joshua, you're a man that is strong. You're a man that is a warrior. I'm delegating you. You pick the men out. And Moses said, then I'll go up on the hill. And I'll stand there as the battle is going. And I'm going to raise up my hands. All right. And when Moses lifted up his hands, Israel prevailed. All right. But understand that sometimes leaders, even leaders, get tired sometimes. And the people are focused on the leader. The people are focused on Moses. They're focused on Moses, but their faith is in God. Understand this, that the leader is important, but our faith should always be in the one that the leader is following. When the leader is following God, when the leader is doing what God has called him to be, it's easier for us to follow his lead. Moses is lifting up his hands. But it's not just his hand that he's lifting up. He's also lifting up the rod of God in his hand. Moses, what's in your hand? It's the rod of God. Pastor Twyman, for 40 years, what's been in your hand? It's the rod of God. I'm holding it up. I'm declaring to you what thus says the Lord. And as long as you listen to what I'm saying from the rod of God, you have the victory. Yeah, you want to know how to have victory? Listen to the man of God as he holds up the rod in his hand. Focusing on the leader. But our faith is in the rod. In what the rod does. The word of God. But he got tired. He got tired. His hands began to drop. The text said that as his hands dropped, Israel began to lose and Amalek began to win. Now look at these other two leaders here. The other two leaders are watching the leader. They're observing the leader. They see the leader is having a difficult time holding his hands up. Notice that none of the leaders come and try and take the rod out of Moses' hand. In other words, just because you're a leader, don't get it twisted. The real leader is still holding up the rod. We as leaders need to be able to come alongside him, brother preachers, brother deacons. We need to be able to come alongside him, sit him on a rock. Somebody get on his right hand. Somebody get on his left hand and just keep holding him up. Keep holding it up. Because that's what God would have us to do. The goal and objective is to win the war. We're going to win this war. So they hold up his hands. They steady him. And Israel is victorious. Israel comes out victorious. God gives them the victory. Why? Because they have a leader that was unfailing. They had a leader that was committed to what he did. And he surrounded himself with leaders that would bear him up, that would bless him, that would give him honor. Much in the same way, we here at Macedonia Baptist Church need to recognize the leadership that we have here. We need to recognize the leader that we've had here. I've talked to Pastor, and he said it from this pulpit that he does not feel like he's being effective. But understand this, Pastor, you've affected more people than you will probably ever know. As a matter of fact, some of the people that you have affected, you have never even met. There are some of us that have taken some sermons, that have taken some good, wise counsel that came across this sacred desk to people on your job, and they've never even met your pastor. So don't be dismayed by what you see. God is still using you, Pastor. He's still got his hands on you. And just like these people, and Joshua discomfited Amalek by the edge of the sword, they had the victory. And he said that this is, built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. I'm just reminded of another victory that was won. Much in the same way, it took place on a hill called Calvary. And just as Moses lifted up his hands in the wilderness on the side of the mountain, Jesus Christ was lifted up for us. And although he did not hold his hands straight up, he did stretch his hands out, took nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns upon his head. They pierced him in his side. Yes, they lied on him. They complained against him. But even with saying that, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, he died for your sins and for my sins. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulder, and he died for us. He gave up the ghost that we might have a right to the tree of life. But the good news is that he didn't stay dead, Deacon. No, they buried him in a tomb. He stayed there all Friday, all night Saturday, all day Saturday, all night Saturday. But the record declares early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. I'm telling you, he is a leader of leaders. Christ led the way. He showed us the model for leadership. And so we thank God this morning for 40 years of leadership, 40 years of staying on the fence and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, 40 years of never turning back. And we hope that God will give you strength, Pastor, to keep on going on. Thank you for all that you've done, Pastor. It is not taken for granted. I don't take what you do for granted at all. I pray for you every day. I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. I'm thankful for what you poured into me. And I'll continue to give it out. You just don't know how many people you pastored through all of us. All of us have shared with somebody. So congratulations, Pastor. 40 years of pastoring. It's nothing to slight. It is a labor of love. It's a labor of compassion. Because he loves God's word. And he loves God's people. So thank you, Pastor. What's in your hand? The word of God. Keep on preaching this thing. Telling them what thus says the Lord. Even when we don't want to hear it, this is what it takes. This is the ride. Keep preaching, Pastor. God has blessed you. You keep on blessing him by preaching to his people. His house shall be blessed among us.
You'll do great things. We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.